You're listening to the Laugh Button Podcast on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
All right, we're back here on the Laugh Button Podcast. I guess technically, if you're listening to two episodes in a row, we never went anywhere.
No, we did not, which I don't know if who would want to listen to the show like two episodes in a row.
Really?
It's a lot of talking.
This is a binge. There's got to be binge listeners out there. You know, there's been
I hope so.
Binge watchers.
I hope so. Yeah. Okay, this is completely unrelated.
Sure.
But for some reason, literally as soon as you hit record, the Super Mario Brothers pipe music started playing in my head.
Oh, that, like the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
I don't know.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. You know what's amazing is how we all know all of the songs from Mario Brothers.
But literally, you hit play and just all of a sudden, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. You're asking me questions and all I keep hearing is, I don't fucking know, man. It's one of those weeks.
Were you a big fan of the Super Mario Bros. Super Show with Captain Lou Albano?
Yeah, yeah. Let's go. It's time to go to the Mario. Take one step. By the way, Captain Lou Albano was Mario.
I know.
Can we talk about this for a second?
Absolutely. Why do you think I brought it up?
Why? First of all, how much cocaine was done in the room when they were talking about getting this guy?
Right.
Second of all, how many people did they ask before they said Captain Lou? I mean, Captain Lou, I guess that was his peak Captain Lou-ness.
Kind of, because
it was like
Super Mario Bros. Super Show was late 80s, early 90s. He had probably just finished up wrestling.
Right. I remember, wasn't he like the Papa in the Papa Don't Preach video by Madonna?
I think so. I just remember he had that goatee with the rubber, the rubber band.
That was his whole thing.
Yeah.
He had a goatee with rubber bands. But for a children's show,
yeah.
Captain Lou Albano, would that fly in 2017?
At this point, Matt, anything will fly in 2017.
I don't know, I think kids are so coddled the idea of a professional wrestler. I don't know. I guess there's...
Well, who's a popular wrestler
John
now?
Cena is probably the best role model for children in modern wrestling, correct?
Probably.
Because he's does all those Make-A-Wish things. And all
he does.
Stuff.
And he'll do SNL.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think he's probably the best role model. But, dude, it's Captain Lou.
Captain Lou.
The guy looks like a drunken uncle. Like,
do you remember, to continue that portion
I remember,
of the conversation.
I remember the little feet up in the little thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, when they did the live action superimposed over the...
No, I don't remember. They did the live action, and then they cut the...
They cut to a cartoon.
Cut to a cartoon. I don't remember the cartoon, but I do remember the live action.
Oh, you don't remember the cartoon was the best part of it?
It was, because it was Captain Lou as Mario. Who would be, the 2017...
Mario and Luigi? If we redid Super Mario Brothers, the movie...
Okay, we had Bob Costas and John Leguizamo...
Did you say Bob Costas?
Wasn't it Bob Costas?
Bob Costas, the sports broadcaster?
Bob
Odenkirk.
Bob, no, it wasn't
Bob's
Bob.
Your uncle. What about Bob?
You don't know either. You just know it's not Bob Costas.
Thingamabob.
Thingamabobber. No, wasn't it?
Bobbing for apples.
He was in Hook. He was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. He played Eddie. There are people screaming at us right now.
Not Joey Pants.
No.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and he passed away recently, too.
Yeah.
He did. Oh, my God.
Wasn't it Bob Costas or Bob something?
Stop, Bob Costas,
it was
dude.
Bob Costas.
I just got done telling you it was not Bob Costas. All right, in the meantime, while you're looking at that, I'm going to let everyone know, very excited personally for this episode, because we have Stephen Lynch joining us.
Yeah, buddy.
He's one of my all-time favorites. I love this guy. Such a talented musician. Bite your tongue.
Right.
Such a great musician and an amazing comedian, and he's melded those two worlds together so perfectly. I think he's the king of the reveal, man. I mean, no one does it like Stephen Lynch does when it comes to the reveal.
Yeah.
In a song. And then when that same reveal comes around the second, third time, whatever, it's just as funny as the first.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's just, yeah, I don't know how to explain it better than you just did, so I'm not going to.
And for those of you out there that know Stephen Lynch, from his first two albums.
That was when he first got picked up. I remember my first example introduction to him was the Opie and Anthony, special ed,
right?
That era of Stephen Lynch, which I guess was
2006.
Oh, it was earlier than
2004.
It was earlier than that. I want to say it was late 90s, dude.
Look that up next.
Because Opie and Anthony were on the air middays on WNEW for 9/11.
Oh, Jesus, dude. What, yeah. Did I say 2006? I meant 1996.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's more that time. So, because that's when I first remember him. I remember they really championed him early on, Stephen Lynch. Well, I want to say his half hour on Comedy Central happened in like 99, 2000.
Well, he's incredible.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And we were able to present, the Laugh Button was able to present one of his shows. He's on a short mini tour right now.
The Mild Heart Tour.
Yeah, the Mild Heart Tour. And he's going to be adding more shows to it. So if you go to his website, be sure to grab tickets. And there'll be new dates soon. But we were able to hang with him down at Starland Ballroom. And he was kind enough to swing by the TLB offices.
Yeah, he swung by our offices
on his way up to
Albany.
Yeah, Albany.
So,
well, anyway, for those of you out there that know him from the old school days, if you haven't invested in his two most recent albums, Three Balloons and also Lion. Lion is my it's hands down my favorite Stephen Lynch album.
Good one.
It is so good. I can't tell you how good it is. And then we got a nice look into what's coming our way as far as a new batch of songs. Yeah. He played a bunch of new stuff.
That's kind of the point of the tour right now.
Yeah. And it seems like we're going to be getting more Lion stuff, which I'm super, super stoked about. So, but yeah, we're happy that he was kind enough to swing by, him and his old friend Rod Cohn, who is in his band and sings with him, and is, you know, it's like a childhood friend, and he's a part of it too. So stay tuned for that. But all right, so
back to the reveal.
Yeah, Bob
Hoskins. Bob Hoskins.
Oh, yeah, okay.
oh, come on, you didn't know.
I did know that. Now that you say it, it's like, of course.
Okay, so we have Captain Lou and other guy. I don't even remember other guy. I remember his face. I don't remember his name at all. I don't think he was like popular. I don't know if he did anything else after that. So you have Bob Hoskins and other guy who do the Super Mario Brothers show. And then you have for the movie, which, by the way, terrible.
You know what? I'm going to go back and watch it.
It's terrible.
I know it's bad, but I want to go
back
and watch it.
They did a whole How Did This Get Made about that movie.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Okay. So you had Bob Hoskins playing Mario, which kind of made sense. And then you had John Leguizamo as Luigi. Now...
And the enemy? You remember the enemy?
The Koopa Trooper. Oh, it was Dennis Hopper.
Yep, Dennis Hopper.
It was Dennis Hopper. He played Koopa Trooper. King Koopa.
King Koopa, yeah.
King Koopa. The Koopa Troopers didn't look like little mushrooms. They looked like giant snakes with small heads. It was very weird. It was, I mean, Nintendo was massive and they could almost do no wrong, and that's why they did all that stuff.
Danny Wells played Luigi.
And I remember the face, but what has he done since then?
Now look at his face, because the second you see, you're going to be like, oh my God.
I totally remember him.
Is he not the perfect Luigi, though?
Totally. So, like, who's the 2017 casting of Mario and Luigi?
I don't know.
Oh, you know what I mean?
This guy's famous for being the bartender on the Jeffersons.
Okay.
He's a Canadian dude.
Okay. You're still dodging my question, though.
No, because I'm trying to think at the same time. Okay. Oh, he passed away. Oh, man.
Yeah, they all pass away at some point. Captain Lou's gone.
I know, but he...
Maybe it's the curse of Mario and Luigi.
He passed
Johnny
away
Legs.
In 2013.
John Leguizamo... Make sure you take your vitamins and eat your Wheaties, buddy.
Everyone else
is gone. You're the only Luigi we have left.
So
I don't know. Would it be like a funny guys like Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill, or would it be?
I could totally see a Jason Segel and a
Segel. Okay, as like
Luigi.
Okay.
Totally.
I feel like Luigi's easier to cast for a comedy role.
Yeah,
because like,
he's
kind of
dopier.
He's got like a dopey, goofy guy, you know.
It's a little bit taller, misshapen.
Yeah, and you know, you could go with anyone from like, if you want to go low budget, you go like Jamie Kennedy.
No, it's the Super Mario Brothers.
Or you go Dax Shepard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I could see that.
You go like a Dax Shepard, Jason Segel.
I don't know
who would do the Mario. Who's the Mario?
What about Ben Stiller, Owen Wilson?
10 years ago, maybe.
Team up.
Today, they're too old. I think 10 years ago, yeah.
But the whole idea behind the movie is that they're retired and they have to come back for one more
play. Oh, kind of like Ben Affleck's Batman.
Yeah.
Like one last, you know, too old for... Or like the Evil Dead reboot on Stars. Where it's like Ash vs. Evil Dead, where like it's literally Ash is like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
I just want to sit around and like smoke some weed and hang out.
It's like, oh, we got...
Too old for this shit, Danny Glover type of style. Myrtle on it.
I guess we got to do one more plunge.
Yeah, one more...
That's
Mario
the tagline.
The final plunge.
The final plunge.
doesn't really leave room for a sequel, but I love it.
Did you just say it doesn't relieve room?
No,
for,
really leave. Oh, really okay. Leave. Super Mario Brothers, The Final Plunge. Oh, that's great. So, okay.
Plunging
so,
into theaters. There's just so many. Yeah. Oh, it's endless. So okay, what's your favorite Super Mario song?
Well, I'm trying to think who Mario would be. I don't know. We only have Ben Stiller. Is the only Mario we presented here. Stuff. Like, would it be like Channing Tatum? C. Tates?
You know what?
Some comedic skill.
That's a great call.
Like Channing, it would be like the 21 Jump Street crew. Just move them into Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, I could totally see
Jonah
Hill.
You put like Ice Cube as like
Jonah Hill would make a good Mario.
Ice Cube wouldn't make a good Toad. Ice Cube as Toad would be actually funny as shit. Actually, Ice Cube as Toad.
Who would be Peach? Who would be the princess?
The princess? I don't know. It'd probably be like you.
You got to get a comedian. You got like Amy Schumer.
You get like Amy Schumer as Peach, or you get like Emma Stone. Maybe,
this is a great piece for the Laugh Button. We should put this together.
Casting the 2017 version of the Super Mario Brothers.
If Super Mario Brothers were recast with comedians of today.
It's not a bad idea.
Can we do that?
Yeah, let's do that.
That'll be a huge hit. Totally,
like an Emma Stone or...
Emma Stone would make a great Peach.
Yeah,
she's lovely, by the way.
Emma Stone. I'm not the Harry Potter girl, the redhead girl from La La Land. Emma Stone, right? Yeah.
Yeah, not Emma Watson.
No. No. Like, and then like... Toad. Ice Cube was Toad. I kind of like. But I was thinking like, you go like, all right.
Oh, wait. What about
you
Char-
go like, you go like Peter Dinklage, but like right, that's right. Kind of like, that's a little on the nose.
What about
Charlize Theron?
What about Charlie Day?
Charlie Day could be a good Toad. What you thinking Toad? I think it'd be a great
anything,
Toad.
Anything. Just, he's got to be like involved.
What about like the guys from Horrible Bosses, like Jason Sudeikis and like Jason
Sudeikis Bateman? Would make a good Mario too, I think.
Do you need like an ethnic Italian looking Mario?
No, you don't. That's what I'm saying. I don't think you do. I think it's just the idea of.
But
whatever.
But you'd have to give him a mustache. So Jason.
That's what I'm saying. You could put anybody in the mustache.
Just give him a nice beefy mustache. I don't know.
That's so funny.
I love the idea.
We got to put this together. The Super Mario.
There'll be like the comedy version, then there's like the emo version where you get like Michael Cera in there somewhere.
Right. That's just the cast of Scott Pilgrim versus the world.
You know what? Underrated movie. I totally.
Are you kidding me? I own it in three formats.
That movie had so much promise, and like the ads looked awesome, the trailers looked awesome, and then just like no one came.
Way ahead of its time.
Edgar Wright directed it.
Crushed it. Way ahead of its time. And I feel like that's the movie, like 10 years from now, like when it's 20 years old, they're going to start showing that in film school. As like a moment in time where someone went outside the box, did something so unique and creative, really changed the game. I mean, it looks awesome.
If that movie came out post Iron Man, I think it would be a huge hit. Yeah. That movie was pre Iron Man.
Great
like
soundtrack. Got the soundtrack on vinyl.
Soundtrack's good with Sex Ba-Bomb.
Yeah, Sex Ba-Bomb. Speaking of Super Mario Brothers.
They would do the theme song?
Ba-Bombs. No, the Ba-Bombs. That's a character in Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, but not Sex Ba-Bombs.
But that's what's great about it. It's a Super Mario Brothers reference.
I don't know. I think we're on the something here. We could do like mega crossovers.
Let's reimagine. Let's start with this.
Okay.
And see where we go with this. And we'll reimagine the Super Mario Brothers universe
with
the comedians of today.
Okay.
And we'll make this a thing. And then we'll choose a different world or something.
If Scott Pilgrim were cast with comedians. Super Mario Brothers.
Who would be the bad guys? Like who would be...
The Koopa Trooper and all those guys?
Yeah. Like who would be like Bowser? You know what I mean? Like, who would make
a
great
Bowser? Can it be Danny DeVito?
Danny DeVito.
Can it please be Danny DeVito?
He's so the perfect Bowser. Oh, my God. He's so perfect
for that. Or Danny McBride. Danny McBride or Danny DeVito.
Ooh, Danny McBride.
Yeah.
No, I see Danny McBride being almost a better right-hand man to Bowser. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like whoever the second in command.
Or could you make him Mario? He kind of looks like crazy, stereotypical Italian dude.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good fit. I mean, just based on looks.
Or get like him and like James Franco as Mario and Luigi.
So funny.
I could do this all day.
Dude, I was watching Why Him, right? The new James Franco comedy.
Yeah, yeah. With Cranston.
I screened it. Before the holiday break. First of all, very funny movie.
Okay.
I don't want to say flew under the radar because it did decently in theaters. It did better than Office Christmas Party, which they came out about the same time.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like the holiday comedy situation. But very funny. And I took my wife to the screening, and she was like, I guess I'll go. I'm like, why wouldn't you want to go? This looks great. She's like, well, you know, it's just, I feel like James Franco is just kind of the same dude and everything.
Yes.
And I'm like, but he's great at it.
Yeah.
You know? And then this is like James Franco turned up a notch.
Okay.
So it's like a little bit different James Franco, but he's just so fucking good at it. And it's just, he's so satisfying in the movie. It's undeniable. He's just hilarious.
Pineapple Express.
So
he's
good.
Great.
Yeah.
The End of the World. He's great. He's got to go. Yeah. Like, that's my favorite line from that movie.
So I gotta rewatch that. I saw it in the theater.
That movie has
I laughed super hard.
Shitload of cameos in that movie. Yeah.
Well, the whole thing's
the whole thing's a cameo. The whole thing's a send up.
It's basically Hollywood dying.
Yeah, basically it's all Hollywood getting killed. Like, yeah, if you hate Hollywood, you can watch them all die and this is the end. He's got to go.
Yeah, he was great in True Story. Did you see True Story? It's him and Jonah Hill.
It was about a writer.
It's based on a true story. A writer for the New York Times. Was it the writer for the New York Times where he got kicked out for lying and he kind of got shunned?
I thought that was.
Or am I confusing two movies?
I think you're thinking of Shattered Glass. Who was that writer? James Glass, I think his name was. He wrote for The Post, I thought it was. Did The Washington Post?
I swear I'm right.
And that guy was played by Hayden Christensen, a.k.a. Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the true story, it was about a guy who interviewed a murderer on death row or something like that. And that, if I'm not mistaken.
I feel like he was
had kind of a Primal Fear kind of vibe to it with Richard Gere and
Edward. It's a mystery thriller, right?
By the way, mystery thriller, James Franco and Jonah Hill, you gotta
work
for
that.
That's the thing.
You're going in thinking, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait, here you go. Franco plays Christian Longo, a man on the FBI's most wanted list, accused of murdering his wife and three children.
It has nothing to do with being a writer for the New York Times.
You're absolutely... What fucking movie is that?
Shattered Glass was about that Glass. His last name was Glass. He was a journalist with the last name Glass, and I want to say he wrote for the Washington Post. It was D.C. somewhere.
Do you know what I'm going to say
and
right
here
right now?
And Hayden Christensen portrayed that character.
Do you know what I'm going to say right here right now?
Like I think the Jesus Jones song?
Right now. I feel... like I've officially watched too many movies.
Probably
I've watched too many fucking movies.
Are you looking up Shattered Glass on IMDb?
Nah, we're not gonna make it that far. We'll move on.
That's bullshit. You still want me to be right? You're probably just, like, oh shit, Matt's right. I'm not proving it.
I just want to keep imagining the Super Mario Brothers universe,
dude. I'll do this all day. We can do this entire podcast.
All right, who else was in the Super Mario Brothers movie?
Shattered Glass, 2003 drama starring Hayden Christensen and Peter Sarsgaard, Chloe Sevigny, and Rosario Dawson. Stephen Glass is a writer for the influential U.S. political magazine, The New Republic, and freelance feature writer for blah, 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 blah. By the mid-90s, Glass's articles had turned into one of the most sought-after young journalists in Washington, D.C., but a bizarre chain of events suddenly stopped his career in his tracks. There you go. So, yeah, he lived in D.C., and he wasn't a writer for D.C. But, yeah, it's based on a true story of, like, that guy who wrote all that political stuff, but, like, he was lying about it.
Yeah, he was bullshitting.
Yeah.
All right, so...
I don't know why I remember that. I don't think I saw the movie. I just remember the
story.
Dude,
Fisher Stevens was in the Super Mario Brothers movie?
Fisher Stevens was the bad guy in Hackers.
Yeah, he was.
And then he played the bad guy in Hackers. Man, that's a movie that...
What was that line that
said?
That
was a great movie that does not hold up tech. By the way, all movies made with technology in them,
well, they're
do
dead
not
in
hold
a year.
Up.
Yeah,
they don't hold up. Like, there's very... Like, Hackers is one of those movies where you're like, the premise of Hackers is very cool, but like the 90s tech involved in Hackers, you're just like, oh.
Matt,
you need to remake Hackers like every 10 years for it to be relevant.
Matt.
Yeah.
I just had a crazy realization. I did not... No, this was a thing.
What? You did not hit play on the recording device?
My radio mate, let's call it, you know, a person who also has a radio show on the same platform.
Okay.
Well, is it SiriusXM? Mojo Nixon.
Yeah.
Was in the Super Mario Brothers movie. I did not, all these fucking years I worked with this guy.
I was going to say.
I did not know this. This is the worst. I wish I could go back and, he played Toad.
What? What do you mean? That's like a legit character. I don't remember how much Toad was in the movie.
This.
I mean, we're going back some years with the movie.
He must have been in it for a blip. There's no way I would have not known that.
I guess so, dude.
Mojo,
I mean, I
want to
say that movie came out around the same time as like, the Ninja Turtles movie, the original one with like Jim Henson's
characters.
This
one's a little bit later. This is 93.
Okay. But yeah, wasn't the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie the first one, like 91, 92?
Dan Castellaneta from The Simpsons is in it.
I feel like anything that involves voiceover work, Dan Castellaneta is involved in some way.
Yeah. Well, this is great. Mojo, Lance Henriksen's in it. He's the dude from Alien. The alien comes out of his chest.
Oh, yeah. The chest burst.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, Fisher Stevens. Who knew? And Samantha Massis played Princess Daisy. I don't remember Samantha.
Wait, Princess Daisy? Isn't it Princess Peach?
Not in the movie.
You get all the same names, but you don't go with Daisy.
I gotta go back and watch this.
But you go with Daisy over Peach? That's so weird.
I gotta go back and watch that.
I don't think you do.
Let's get to Stephen Lynch, because people are just like, I've had it with this fucking Mario Brothers. Like,
I don't think so. I personally think that they want to hear more. So,
what's your favorite Mario game of all time?
It's gotta be Mario Kart. It's gotta be Super Mario Kart.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's for playability over and over again. I mean, the first game is dope. Mario 3 was dope. I think
2 was my favorite.
Two
of all
was my
three.
Favorite because you
was
play
my
as
favorite.
All the characters.
Yeah,
and 2 was the one I distinctly remember beating the most. I distinctly remember beating 2 with the most ease, and I remember like you could pick things up and throw them, and then 3 just like blows your mind.
Yeah, 3 was.
They
like
made a whole movie based on just rolling out 3.
The Wiz
with what's her name from Rilo Kiley?
Yeah.
Jenny
from the Block.
No, she was in Troop Beverly Hills. She's an actress. She was in The Wiz.
Jenny, don't you lose my number?
People are fucking hating us today because we were just like, it's on the tip of our tongue.
Doesn't Beck have a song called Jenny? Jenny!
No, that's Deborah.
Oh, sorry.
Your name was Deborah. Want to get with you.
Yeah.
And your
I
sister.
Know, I'm just messing up. All right, so here's Stephen Lynch, everyone. We'll be back on the flip side, on the
Jenny
B side of the podcast. It's Jenny Lewis.
Jenny Lewis.
Jenny Lewis and the Jets.
Jenny Lewis and the Watson Twins was one of her albums.
Oh, was it really? Who knew?
I did.
Mojo Nixon knew. Here's Lynch, everyone. Any old school. Before we go any further.
WHU. Oh, right.
France is a word you use every day.
Shit.
Most of the time you use it the wrong way.
What do you got, Rod?
What do you got,
Rod? Pressure's on.
Here, I'll go first. Don't try to compare me to another bad little fad on the Mac and a bad thicker plum that you never had. I'll make you jump, jump, wiggle, and shake your rump because I'll be kicking the flavor that makes you want to jump.
Now you're just showing off, man.
Wiki, 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 wiki.
I only do stuff before 1982.
Oh, okay.
Because I gotta have faith. That's shit.
All right.
That's all right.
All right, let's introduce our guests in this episode of the Laugh Button Podcast. As always, alongside Matt Kleinschmidt, I'm Mark Seaman. I know Mark, right? Stephen Lynch and Rod Cohn are here. How are you guys doing?
Pleasure.
It's good to see you.
Notice
really
I avoided
good.
Your question.
Yes.
A pleasure to be here. Forgive my heavy breathing and low energy, but...
Well, you put it
sick
all
as a
on
dog,
s- you put it all on stage last night. You played
I left it in Sayreville, New Jersey. If you're going to leave it somewhere, New Jersey is the place to leave it and then never come back for it.
Now, with that said, I guess that's where the Stephen Lynch Museum is going to be.
Sayreville, New
that's
Jersey.
That's where it's going to, might as well build around it, right?
That's where I left it.
There's plenty of land down there. It's like across the street, the VFW post right next
to
that.
So you guys performed there. You just performed there. And for me personally, that was the first time I'd ever been there. Have you guys been there before? Did you do that room before, Starland Ball?
I was not kidding when I said I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah.
But.
Yes. And they spell it like Brett Favre, too. It's like Sayreville.
Oh, yeah. It's like that fancy put the R first. Like we in the theater world right. Put the R first.
So
theater. You know if somebody spells it ER, you're like, oh, you're not a real theater person.
Well, it's a classy place. I hear that the situation from the Jersey Shore hangs out there a lot.
It used to be a dance club called Hunkabunka way back in the day. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Hunkabunka?
When I was a freshman in college.
Like in the 60s or
no,
something?
No, like 98,
like
99.
People are doing the Watusi there
no.
Hot potato?
No. Like Central Jersey
the
dancing.
Charleston, was that a dance? Yeah, well, Charleston?
No, Central Jersey Dance Club, Dance Factory.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's called Hunkabunka. Like in my lifetime.
So Hunkabunka. Of course the situation would frequent that joint.
Sayreville's a classy place.
I'll tell you what, man. The crowds that you were drawing last night. All different types.
It really was a petri dish of.
That is America.
It is America.
Little pink houses. It was a little pink
there
houses.
There were pockets of people. Like, you could tell only knew me from Broadway.
Right. Yeah.
And they were sort of horrified. I don't think by me, but maybe by some of the people sitting around there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's like old school hardcore fans, the people who only want to hear the songs from like 1993 or whatever.
Right.
And then
last century.
And then there's like people who jumped aboard maybe on the last couple records, the Lion. That's a different type of crew, you know what I mean? Sure. They sit and they watch the show like it's a show.
Right.
And it's not a participatory thing. So it was a weird show last night, but it was fun. I also felt a little bad because people stood out in line for like hours.
There was an issue with the line at the door. I'm not sure what that was all about.
Like,
they got the whole line in by like your second song. So
well, they had to search through all those purses.
They were doing searches. They were making sure there was no hair product and stuff.
You know what? That's a good idea because I quite literally had a dream the other night that I was shot on stage.
Oh, jeez.
Did you really?
Like Dimebag Daryl style.
Oh, what?
God.
Cleveland Day canceled.
So when I heard they were frisking people at the door, part of me was like, what? Come on. This is America.
Right.
And another part of me
was like, this is America.
Thank you. Do your due diligence, door people.
Well, ever since you did the Juggalo song, you've gotten a warrant out of my death threats. Yeah.
There was a guy there last night who we were giving out posters at the front, so we were getting a lot of people coming by. And one guy goes, man, I listen to Stephen Lynch. He gets me through my day. I put him on the Pandora station. I just listen to it, and I have a shitty job, and this guy gets me through my day. I'm like, you got some diehard fans.
Huh? Yeah, there were people there. It's our eighth show, ninth show.
It was really cool.
Very passionate people. Man.
Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. All in all, I thought it was a great show. Until I lost my voice at the end, I thought it was a good show. This is one of the shows you just had to sort of focus and ignore the people who just wanted to shout at you the whole time. And sing to the people who were actually listening.
Sure.
And they seemed to enjoy it. So
yeah, it was a great show.
So the last time I saw you, you had the full-blown band when we were hanging out. Now it's whittled down to two for this little mini tour, right?
Yes.
Right. And you got Rod here. And where did your guys' relationship start? I don't know if I ever asked you guys that.
College.
Yeah?
Yep. 1990.
91.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
In Kalamazoo, Michigan, where we both actually live now, still.
Right.
Yeah, we just hit it off. We've been friends ever since. And then I moved to New York. Rod eventually moved to New York. And then I was going out on the road, and I asked him if he wanted to come and sing a couple songs and maybe sell some merch for me or something. And
get him a job.
Yeah, he needed a job.
And then like 15 years later, he's my tour manager, and he performs with me. And yeah.
That's awesome. Now, who has more secrets to bury? I mean, you guys must have some stuff on each other, right? So where are we drawing the line in the sand?
Well, you know, man, I wish I had some great stories. I probably do from the really early days, but I've been married for most of my touring life, so we are pretty fucking boring.
We're really boring, man. We go back to the hotel, we eat a pizza, we pass out with a stomach full of cheese, and then just move on to the next place.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Don't deal with the shenanigans, man. Cut them out early.
There were some shenanigans at our hotel last night, though.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
Needless to say, I didn't do well when I picked the hotel for this show. It looked nice online.
Wait, what app did you use, or was it just some guy in the street?
Shitty Hotel.
ShittyHotelsTonight.com.
Right. Right. WhereToFindMeth.com.
But, and then the whole state of New Jersey just lights up.
Right.
Hey, I'm from Jersey.
Like, just throw a dart and you'll
fine. Have some pride then, man.
I do have pride. I don't think it's as messy.
It was tell one you of this, those. Steven, you're already breathing it in, man.
Oh, I've been high for 25 years. It was one of those extended stay places. Okay. We like to stay there because they have like a little kitchen.
Yeah. Sure. Absolutely.
But, you know, those are a crapshoot. Like sometimes they're really nice and sometimes they're like they were last night. And the cops are called on somebody at like 5 in the morning to haul some
You're listening
some
through the little door.
Some very guilty looking people
the cops
away.
Show up first. Because it's like, oh, should I be a gentleman and go out there?
Yeah.
You know what?
Nah.
I'm a coward. I don't want to get knifed. It's going to be okay.
I said something.
You did?
I opened the door and I was like, could you guys sort of pipe down, please? It was
get
only,
back in your room.
It was only after I saw the cop turn the corner.
Yeah.
Then I became brave. No, I didn't say it. Of course I didn't. I didn't even hear it. Rod told me about this. I was asleep through everything.
Really?
I passed
like
out on NyQuil.
So. For sure, yeah.
Well, it's the smart move anyway. Pretend like you're already dead. They won't shoot you again. Right. You know? It just.
Right.
That's what my dad always told me.
Yeah.
Like, just pre-draw the chalk outline. Lay
they're,
there.
They're like, if you're staying at an extended stay, you're already dead.
Hence the name extended stay. Right?
It's the most extended of all stays.
It's like Nietzsche is the owner of the extended stay chain.
Nietzsche's extended stay, Edison, New Jersey.
Comforter doubles as body bag. They fold it up. It zips yeah. up. It's one stop shop.
Come as man, leave as Uberman.
So, all right. So no sleep for you then, you know, classic.
I slept through it because I was hopped up on
some meds,
NyQuil. Yeah.
I've been up for the last 2 days. Yeah. We've been in an extended stay and went in Rome, you know.
Yeah, right.
I mean, this is a mini, like this is a tour that is meant to sort of just test out the new songs.
Right.
Hence the stripping down of the act and just, you know, having a couple of us go up and do all the new stuff and then just throw in some old stuff.
Sure.
So the idea was, you know, stay at some cheap hotels and do everything Econo style, you know.
Yeah, you guys did pull up on a bike today.
A big double tandem bike.
I was like, guys, you didn't tell me. I don't have a chain. You have to bring it inside.
We lugged it up the stairs.
Yeah, it's hard to get around corners. It's like moving a couch.
We're splurging on this leg.
Yeah.
Next leg is going to be 2 Razor scooters.
Or yeah. one of those old railroad, what are those called? With
one person each side.
The pump car.
Yeah, yeah, you just go back and forth. You're facing backwards this time, Rod. I want to see shit.
Both have little chaplain mustaches. Chaplain mustaches.
Yeah.
Not Hitler mustache. Same mustache. Oh,
it's a good thing you're doing quotation figures for the podcast.
Right, nobody can see me, but I'm saying
they can hear the
chaplain.
Wind. They can hear the wind. Yeah.
The whoosh noise.
Yeah, which that's like the chicken and the egg. Which came first, the chaplain or the Hitler, right?
I think it's the chaplain if you
it had
do
to
math.
Be the chaplain.
Gotta be the
yeah.
chaplain. I don't. Yeah.
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 And then Hitler ruined it for
everyone. He ruined not only that
even
name.
Even Michael Jordan. He ruined it for Michael Jordan.
Michael
yeah, he ruined it for everyone. What a dick. God, ultimate dick move. It's yeah. like this.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, his work is
it's
still.
It's a terrible mustache, though. Yeah. Who wants that?
Dude, it only takes one rapper to make that cool, and then we're back doing it, man. I'm telling you.
True.
That's it. One dude.
One
to
rapper
cool.
to make the Hitler mustache cool?
One taste maker.
No, no, I'm just saying, like.
Michael Jordan couldn't do it. Why would you think a rapper's going to do it?
That's
it's MJ.
True.
Maybe Eminem.
His high, yeah. I don't think he can be a white guy.
Yeah. I don't think Eminem can grow a mustache.
He can afford the prosthetic, but I think he's doing all right. All right, so the My Old Heart Tour, which is what
yep.
you've called this thing, and you're out doing the new stuff, which sounds awesome, by the way.
Thank
and
you.
And I feel like the people were really receptive, and,
yeah.
and you came out right away swinging with it. You know, I was in the lobby still, and you fired up, and I was like, whoa, I don't know this one. I was like, this is bullshit. I had to
song
run out
number
there.
One.
Yeah, so I think they're really digging it, man, the new stuff for Alley Gate. So how are you feeling about it now that you've been able to play it live a little bit? Have you already
yeah.
made tweaks at all? Or
of
like,
course,
yeah.
tweak it every night, but mm-hmm. it's a huge relief. Because I don't know if I said this on stage last night, but, you know, of the 8 or 9 songs that we're consistently playing in these past week, at least half of them had never been heard by anybody. It was just conceive of it, write it, do a little GarageBand demo.
Sure.
Go to the gym and run on a treadmill and listen to it so I can sort of tweak it in my head. And what most comics do, I guess, is... you know, they go to their local home club or whatever, and they test out their material,
yeah.
make sure the shit is good.
Right.
And then they book a tour.
Right.
And then they go play it for 700 people or
no,
whatever.
No one told you?
They told me, and I just refused to do it. I don't know. There's something about the thrill of, you know, really trying something out for the very first time in front of a shit ton of people who have paid money to see you. Mm-hmm. And they're not forgiving, so you get a real answer right away.
Absolutely.
As yeah. to if this stuff is any good. And so, to answer your question, yes, it's been a relief that I would say 80% of it has gone over the way I was hoping it has. And we're still working on that last 20%, and then we'll put it on I was going to say vinyl, but...
put it on wax.
You got to wait like 8 years for that to get printed.
Put it on ones and zeros and
sure.
Put it out into the world.
Now, are you looking to do this a full band style again, like the last couple records, or how are you going to approach
it? I think I'll do this the way I did the last one, which
nice.
Is go into a studio.
It's my favorite one, man. Lion's my favorite, dude.
Thank you.
I love
me
that
too.
Album yeah. so
me
much.
Too. It's yeah. the only one that I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just, you know, you're hard on yourself. You, but whatever. Yeah. We don't need to talk about that. But thank you. I appreciate that because this is the one I definitely invested more time and energy into. And I really tried to make a record that was good musically as well as being funny. So
yeah, well, first and foremost, it is. Musically, it's a masterpiece of Stephen Lynch. I really believe that. And to the comedy aspect of it, is gets to shine even more because you're so good at the reveal. That's one of my favorite things about you is
thanks.
Because it's hard to do the reveal and do it well. You know what
yeah,
I mean? If
yeah,
you call
yeah.
a song Dick Face and then that's also the chorus and you're just selling it right away.
Right.
There's no reveal there. But you do it in
that
such a way.
One of his new songs, Dick Face.
That's yeah, it's a new album. Sorry, everybody. Sorry for that long bleep there for the last 30 seconds.
Really? We'll
have to redact that from the... but it The music is so fucking good that when the reveal happens, it just makes it that much more valuable too on the back end. You know.
Thanks.
So,
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
you're right. It's hard to do, and it's hard to do when you've been doing it for a long time.
Right.
And you gotta try to do it differently somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
Right.
And that's what I think we did with Lion is like, after Three Balloons, I was like, man, this is really getting sort of formulaic and stale, mm-hmm. and I gotta try something else. And so, I concentrated on writing all the music first. And making sure I had good songs, and then trying to make those funny instead of coming up with a funny idea and then sort of shaping the music around it.
Right.
And that helped that reveal that you're talking about because the song was already a song.
Right.
And so now I got to figure out a way to get laughs out of the song. So that's what I'm sort of continuing to try to do on this new record.
And something else that you had discussed with me that I thought was really interesting and that I feel is kind of like with these new songs, there's a kind of an evolutionary step happening along this line is that in the past, it was about making those funny jokes, putting them to the music, but also now it's about how the music, the song is actually funny. It's not just jokes in a song, but somehow there is something in the song that becomes funny.
Yeah.
You know, like,
whether it's the chord progression or, you know, the tone that's happening.
Right.
Know. Yeah, I'm
right.
with you, man.
And
absolutely.
And like one of the songs off of Lion, Night I Laid You Down, mm-hmm. right? The it's a duet and it starts off and it's funny, but it gets funnier and funnier mm-hmm. and funnier as the song goes on because it kind of takes you on a journey, right? And that's
right.
what we love about any music.
Yeah.
And that's
stories
what we love about
told.
Comedy. And then, you know, the... Sorry to just shine your shoes, but, you know, just the melding those two things together.
How do you feel about Dick Face?
Dick Face needs a little
That's
work.
That's the one I'm most proud of. Oh, really? I thought it was fully formed and ready to go.
Needs some work. It's at half staff. You need to get it all the way up.
Hey,
you need to get it all the way up.
All right, I'll go back to work on Dick Face.
Oh, by the way, great Courtney impression on that
oh,
song.
Oh, thank you very much.
Day.
Thank you.
Courtney J, the wonderful singer. Love her, by the way. She's
the
all-time
best.
Favorite
Amazing.
Female voice.
And I loved having her and Charlie with us on that last tour. It was so much fun because, you know, it's like you have your friends on stage.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, Charlie's great at playing the harmonica and the mandolin and the banjo, and he can sing and he can play guitar, and then Courtney sings like an angel, and so then we get all four of us up there, rock and play the piano, and it's
yeah.
just so much fun. Well, I'll do that again someday because it's super rewarding. But
good.
I wanted to just get out there and do like a real stripped down version and just test these songs.
Yeah,
out
and there's nothing wrong with that. It sounded fantastic, yeah. man.
And the banjo last night was working well.
Yeah.
Just like,
never have to tune that thing.
Really, I missed the phantom banjo.
Nice. Okay, that's good. So we'll get another like full blown hopefully music out, man. That's exciting.
Yeah. Well, both. Just
yeah.
like Lion, I hope
yeah.
to do that and then
oh, do a
live
version
recording.
Too. Oh, that's great. Cool.
Or at least offer the studio version with maybe several live versions.
Right.
So I don't know exactly yet because, I don't know, it's kind of expensive to do two fully produced
yeah.
records
yeah.
of the same material and then sell them for this same low price that you would just sell one of them. But
couldn't decide.
But
could
it's
you,
worth it,
Steven.
To me.
Yeah.
I couldn't decide. And I know people love the feeling of a live...
Mm-hmm.
show is obviously with comedy It just feels better live.
Oh, it works both though, because like with the music at like the non-live,
so much
it's
fun
yeah,
to get into a studio produced, and
exactly.
really make a
and then
song
the comedy benefits from the live aspect.
Right.
This is a win-win.
Audience,
hey, I'll chip in. Look, if it costs twice as much, I'll chip in, man.
That's his way of saying he wants to play drums. That's his way of
Mark
saying.
Fund me.
Do you listen to the live or the studio album of Lion when you have to, if you listen?
You know, every morning, what wakes you up? What's the alarm clock? Is it
start
is it Lorelei from the studio, or is it...
I start with my demos. I put them on shuffle, so I never know what I'm going to get. No, I don't listen to them consciously. Like,
right.
They're on my phone, so sometimes when I have my music on shuffle, one will pop up. Yeah. And if I still like it, I'll maybe listen to it, but I'm always critiquing it and saying, I should have done this, and that's wrong, and I knew I should have changed that lyric, but I can still sort of enjoy most of the stuff on those on the Lion
sure.
record.
Well, a magic moment happened last night because when you played, speaking of Lion, when you played Tennessee, you got to do the big Martin Luther King reveal on
Kismet.
Martin Luther King Day.
Right?
And I was like, as soon as the song started, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. You know, because if the people didn't know the song, you know, and then you got to drop that right on the date. And it was kind of like extra special.
It was. Right? So, it was special. I mean, you got to pay tribute to Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
And why not do it by insulting the state in which he was shot? It makes sense to me, right?
It makes total
like you
sense
said,
to me.
It's just factual information.
Factual information.
I mean, I'm Team King Jr. I don't know about you racists out there, but if I had to choose between this Tennessee and Martin Luther King, I'm taking Martin Luther King. Sorry, Tennessee.
Selfish with your consonants and vowels anyway to begin with.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when you are performing live and there are some improv moments, especially between the two of you, whether it's something like you're losing your voice a bit or maybe somebody doesn't nail something exactly spot on. And do you guys welcome that? Do you welcome the improv moments almost more so than what you've
laid out? Oh, those
are
the
best.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. The show always starts out, the tours always start out with a set list and nothing. I don't know what I'm going to say in between the songs. I don't know. I don't even know if the set list is going to stay the same. And so, you know, we just have to trust that we're going to talk. And some of it's going to be funny. And the stuff that's funny and it works, like especially between the two of us as sort of a bit, we can keep it in the show and we'll do it the next time. And so then it becomes like a little show.
And that's a nice thing about having been friends for so often.
Right.
You know, I mean, we are constantly...
Wait, long or often? Because I don't know. That sounds like an
we're
on again,
so
off again relationship.
Well,
like, so how are you guys right now?
We've had our ups and downs. We're on now. When the tour's over, off.
Off. I actually thought I said long.
It's okay,
starting
man.
To get old.
You guys had a long night.
Yeah.
It's good.
I mean, you know, we're just trying to make each other laugh. We're just trying to have a good time up there. And so if I throw something out that's a stinker, you know, I know that Steven's going to come right back and give me shit about it. And I can do the same thing right back to him, you know? And
it's always better when the joke is, you know, not planned. If it's just improvised, you know how it is.
Yeah, it's special for that.
It feels
night
better.
It's
right.
Fun.
Sure. And then and if it works, we keep it and, you know, we move on and we hope to continue to do that. And by the time that we get to the point where like we did Hello Kalamazoo, by that point we've got a fully fleshed out show that we can just give to people.
Right.
That's really
so
exciting.
The show just gets
yeah,
more stretched out.
It's like a
more self-indulgent,
an open accordion, just stretched to the max.
I mean, that show last night was like 2 hours often.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's about 2 hours.
Come on.
Sorry.
Hours often.
Yeah, well.
I wanted it to just hang for a minute, but everybody got it right away. And I was like, damn it. That was so good. So good. See, that's the reveal I'm talking about.
Hey.
Callback City.
Yeah, it was about 2 hours. Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to make tonight shorter because I feel I'm getting sick. Like, I can tell my voice is tired as my sixth show in a row, which doesn't sound like much, but when you're literally talking and or screaming and singing, you know, every night for 2 hours. It, you know, sure. For me anyway, I'm not a trained singer, so it's
and it's and it's all you too. By the way, it's not like oh, right, this is where the guitar player kicks in with some banter right, or right, yeah, exactly. Whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Banjo
singing the banjo part.
Extended guitar solo. It's like yeah, you're literally.
I mean, yeah. What am I doing? So I try. I was like last night. I was like, I'm gonna make this a shorter show. Or we're gonna do like an hour. 40 minutes, hour 45.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out to be the longest one of the tours.
Nice.
Idiot.
That's cool. So, how many more dates do you have left? I mean, not to put a timestamp on it right now, but are you halfway through this one?
Well, we have.
Are you going to be adding more on or what?
This leg, the January leg, we were halfway through. We have 5 more shows and we have a couple weeks off. And then we start the February one, which is another, I don't know, 14 or 15 shows yeah. or something. And then they're working on the, you know, more dates. So
blown out the rest of 2017.
It's going to be a long year. Yeah.
That's good though.
But it, yeah,
good.
It is good.
It's got to feel good.
I'm sorry, don't you mean an often year?
It's going to be.
Oh, man. We're so naming this episode often.
It's a tight race between often and dick face.
I feel. I also kind of think of like, you know, Stephen Lynch's dick face would be the name of the episode.
How dare you, sir?
Dick facing with Steve.
I'm out of here.
Something you said last night. I'm out of here. And then you did the best Beyonce walk I've seen in 2017.
Little single ladies.
I learned that entire video. Man.
Oh, did you?
Oh, did you?
No,
really?
I didn't.
Oh.
I didn't.
I was gonna say I'm getting the camera if you did.
That'd be great. You just start going off, and he's like, "All right, you got the whole thing. 3 minutes. The floor is yours.
I did
go
for it." I did have high school aspirations to be a backup dancer, though.
You did, didn't you? For anyone in particular?
This is Rod talking, by the way, lest anyone think I had inspirations to be a backup dancer.
Oh, come on. You know you did, too.
You've seen me dance.
I was. There's actually an old videotape of myself and a high school friend of mine. We were poetry in motion. That's poetry... apostrophe
yes,
in motion. And
kid and play.
Once in a while we'll bust
that's what
it
they
out of the party.
In.
Oh yeah. Z Cavarici pants and
nice. Overalls with just one.
That's correct.
Fashion?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sneakers with the
you
tongue.
You think
fully
you're gonna
blown
make
out?
A joke that's not true about this?
Yeah.
It's all true.
It's all true.
I've seen the video.
Poetry
they're dancing
in motion,
to
I love
people,
it.
Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe.
Of yeah, course you are.
Big New Edition fans
of course.
Back in the day.
Yeah,
so
totally.
There is There is a videotape. I've had many people say, you know, you should put that on YouTube. I'm like, no, that's not coming out for anybody.
So it's on VHS, is what you're
it
saying.
It is on.
It's
so
a legendary tape. I have tried to steal it.
But you've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Is it in the lockbox, or is it...
He keeps it... Oh, far away from me.
Because
he knows I would
VHS
do something with
no
it.
There was
the
one
format.
Time where they said, bring it over. We're having a party. We're going to make everybody laugh with it. I'm like, okay, you know, fine. We'll do it once. I spent the night because I was trashed. And the next morning, I wake up and I'm looking around for it. And I see a videotape. And I can tell that the label's been ripped off.
Oh, no.
And he's like trying to put a different label on there. I'm like,
I tried to replace the tape with
wait,
a dummy
just,
tape.
Who just has like VHS sticker replacement?
He's got that skill.
Found this in my pocket. I guess I haven't watched these jeans in a while.
Yeah, it's like Mission Impossible. He's trying to
I
pull
ran
a
down
heist.
To Nobody Beats the Wiz, and I bought a couple of blank videotapes.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, now you're in the clear though, because no one has a VCR.
No,
yeah,
it's a dead technology.
Yeah, you're good. You've
they're officially it. Not manufacturing anymore.
Right.
Oh, that's great. You should though, just for your own sanity, dub it onto.
I went down to like the ABC warehouse, which is like the Midwest version of the Wiz.
And right.
Got one of those VHS to DVD. So
sure.
I do have a lockbox with the DVD.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, all right, Steven, so let's put a pause because we obviously know where you're at right now with what you're working on and everything, but
yep.
You take a step back. What are the maybe 2 or 3 things so far that have ever happened in your career that immediately jumped to your brain? You know, not necessarily the biggest thing, but just a moment for you.
Milestones?
That's, yeah, like a personal, like this moment in time was super special up until this point.
Playing Carnegie Hall was kind of cool. That's a big one. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was really fun. Because my father had just died, which, you know, puts a damper on the evening a little bit. But I know he would have been pretty proud of it because he was a singer himself. And so, you know, my mom came out and the whole family came out. And yeah, that was a really great night. Super fun. That's one of them. What else?
How were the acoustic in there? Were they up to speed? Like, were they up the cuff? Like, is it?
Yeah, we had a little trouble tuning the triangles. And the bassoons were a little flat. All that. Yeah. But other than that, the orchestra sounded great. And I thought I would have been like maybe the least likely person to ever play Carnegie Hall, given my material. But right. I looked it up, and there are some. There are some people who play Carnegie
who
Hall
like who
some,
shouldn't have played Carnegie
yeah,
Hall.
Yeah, like some real old school, like some real dirty shit, man. Like, for I don't even. Oh, Wanda, what's that lady's
Wanda
name?
Sykes?
Wanda Sykes?
No, not Wanda Sykes. Of course, she'd be great at Carnegie Hall.
Fish called Wanda?
I don't remember her name, but she.
Willie Wanda?
She's was super dirty, and she played Carnegie Hall, and I was like, what? Yeah.
Sorry.
Fish called Ken's coming to kill me. That was it. That's my only career highlight. No, I don't know. I suppose when Lion came out and it did really well and like hit the top of the comedy charts, that was very satisfying because, God damn it, I put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into that thing and really took a lot of time off and I'm sure sacrificed parts of my career because if you're not out there constantly in some form or another, people will forget and you got to remind them. And I knew I was going to take a hit by taking all that time. But I really wanted to change things up and do something different and something that I was really going to like. So,
well, on a personal note,
those are two career highlights.
On a personal note, that's one of my favorite things I've done, too. When you guys came up to play and we had the nice little audience and
that was great.
You know, talking between songs, you guys played
piano, grand piano out there. That was really cool.
That's one of my favorite things, man. It just was a cool moment in time where it's you know what? That was a good day to wake up and go to fucking work.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
Yeah, that was a good time. Yeah.
It was a good interview and, you know, because... I mean, you do a good interview because most of the time it's, you know what it's like. It's like how long have you been doing comedy?
So, Steven.
Why did you get into comedy?
So, Steven.
Who were your influences?
Remember that time you were in the Beatles? That was awesome.
Yeah, right. It's exactly like that 98%.
Well, thank you for saying that, man. That
so,
means
so
a lot.
So, it's nice when somebody asks you a real question and an answer. Because it's stuff I want to know about people I like. You know what I mean? I just saw a video of Ryan Adams talking about his process for songwriting, and it was like, this is the kind of shit that's interesting to me, you know what I mean? Not like, when are you coming back to Sayreville, New Jersey? Which I get it. You know, if you're a fan, you want to know. But you can find that out. Just go on somebody's website. I want to know the meat and potatoes of the thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So...
Like, how much does your wife yell at you for writing a particular song?
Not at all. She doesn't.
Yeah. Well, with the new stuff, like, where do you feel you're pulling from, you know, with this new batch of stuff? Do you feel like you're in the moment and you're just making observations? Because the world's getting a little crazy right now. It's beyond intense. It's beyond ridiculous. It's like we've officially entered Clown Town.
Yeah.
And we don't know where it's going to go. Like, nobody knows what's going to happen in a very short period of time.
Right.
Like, it's all up in the air. So are you...
That could be something that will influence... the way I write, I don't know. I never know. I wish I had like sort of a magic suitcase and I could say, all right, I'm going to write about this. But for me, it's just a matter of coming up with some music and playing it over and over again and just hoping something comes into my head. And we are in a climate right now where there's a lot of shit to make fun of.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it already has started to sort of influence some of the stuff. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe.
All right. And Rod, what's
I'm still working on my Monica Lewinsky song, by the way. That's going to be hilarious.
One of these, maybe on the 30th anniversary.
It's so topical and funny.
Well, those 96 diehards that you were talking about earlier. they've been waiting,
They're waiting for that.
they're going to... I mean, you guys played a nice old treat, you know, last night.
Yeah.
And is it weird when you dust stuff off, you know,
love-hate relationship with those things?
Yeah,
because they were of a time. They're really of a time. And that's not true of all comedy, and it's not true of all my stuff either. But often, you know, a song is firmly entrenched in the time in which it was written or it became popular. And so to sing it again, you have to... you have to admit to yourself that it doesn't mean the same thing it did, and it might not be funny to you at all. In fact, it might be torture for you. But just for old time's sake, people like to hear it. So that's
but
why
I'm a creep.
Right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I saw Radiohead at Madison Square Garden this summer.
Oh, cool. You went to one of those shows, yeah.
Nice. I did. I went to both of them.
Bunch
shows.
Of us went,
And they did Creep one of the nights.
Which they don't play often live.
Right. They don't often play. They've kind of retired. At one point refused to play.
Yeah.
And then I think they sort of reached the same conclusion that I did, which is like, you know what? It's been 25 years.
Yeah.
Just do the fucking song.
Yeah.
Who cares if it's about a gerbil in your asshole that you wrote when you were like 19 and it has a Richard Gere reference. Like, who cares if none of that stuff is relevant
anymore?
This is
going to be one hell of a monologue.
This is twofold, right?
This is a 10-minute biopic.
So I was like that. I refused to play that old stuff for a long time, and then this time around, I'm just like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just play it. Who
cares? Come to terms with it at some point.
Yeah, as long as you put out consistently... Or not consistently, but as long as you're still putting out new stuff that you do like, then you can do some of that old stuff and not feel too crazy about it. Although I have noticed on this tour so far that apparently all I ever used to write about were dicks, vaginas, and assholes. Apparently that's the only thing I ever thought was funny. It's amazing to me. Like, every song I look at my old set list, and I'm like, wow, there's nothing here that doesn't mention a body part.
The body part chanteuse of the 90s.
Seriously.
But it wasn't until 2017 when Dickface found its way into the fold.
That's my crowning, no pun intended, achievement.
There's still room to grow, Stephen. Still room to grow.
I mean, I think you could probably extend it to a concept album. That would be pretty sweet.
Dickface the concept record.
Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah, and it's just a picture of Mr. Goodbody on the album cover. And with the song
titles
to
be that
pointing
guy
to
for
the body
Halloween.
Parts.
Yeah.
Me too. And then one of the South Park dudes did it.
Oh,
it was a Matt Stone or whatever.
Yeah.
He got the Mr. Goodbody thing done.
So
and I was like, oh, man. Because you can only do that one. Like,
so
one guy gets to do that. No one else gets to do that.
So fucking
I also had for many years the idea that I was going to come out and if I were taping a special or something, I would come out in the Eddie Murphy Raw outfit. And then Conan O'Brien did it.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that was my idea that I was never actually going to do.
How
that was
dare
my
Cody.
Idea to never spend $18,000 on a custom-made leather suit.
That's was Raw the purple one or the red one?
Raw was the purple one.
Purple one, yeah.
Right,
Delirious, was, Delirious the one. Was the red one, yeah.
That's like the same theory behind domain parking. It's like you want to buy the idea and sit on it, make someone pay $1,000 to get it off your hands.
Oh, hello, Conan.
Nice. So, all right. So we got a second leg of the tour coming. Obviously, you guys are going to hit the studio. Are we going to Nashville to do this? Where do you want to?
I think I'm going
to
do it locally.
You going to do it locally?
Yeah, we got
up
a really,
Michigan.
Yeah,
nice.
We got a really happening music scene in Kalamazoo, and there's a bunch of studios and a bunch of great musicians. And so I think I can make it happen without traveling this time. And then I can have some of my friends play on the record, which will also be fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Kalamazoo, who's got dibs on it? I mean, you now have a special named, it has Kalamazoo in the title. You know, people think of Derek Jeter.
Oh, Derek Jeter, for sure.
I believe Primus has a song, Kalamazoo, right, on the Brown album?
Do they?
If I'm not.
Do they?
Yeah, I think so, right? Do you remember?
I don't know the Brown album by Primus nearly as well as...
I think there's a song called Kalamazoo on the Brown album. Yeah, I'll double back.
I did not know that.
Yeah, but there's some...
So far, I'm third. Anybody else you mentioned, you're just going to keep knocking me down.
Yeah, just keep knocking
them
down over here.
I just want to keep
I got a gal in Kalamazoo.
Steven.
Fourth.
No, it's just such a fun town name, man. I mean, it's great. So, of course, people are going to, you know.
It's a cool place to live.
It's got this very, like Steven said, it's got this incredible...
Yeah, what's going on right now? What's it feel like?
It's just got a very incredible music scene that's kind of almost in this, like, bubble. I mean, they did all of the bands that are friends of ours, you know, they tour around and they have followings. But it's also, like, just everybody is very... very, I don't want to say incestuous, but everybody gets up and plays with each other. And
that's
there's
great.
This very, like, this very vital rock scene, and there's also this very vital bluegrass scene that kind of...
That's a cool mix.
It's a very neat mix. And
it's a great mix.
On any given night, we've got friends that are playing out, so we're looking forward to hopefully being able to play with them in the future.
Sure. Cool. Awesome. All right. Well, last thing, and then I'll get you guys out of here. And we really appreciate the time. We know you're obviously in between dates here. You're heading up to Albany at the time of this recording. Mm-hmm. So something else that happened last night in the show that I thought was really cool is Stephen, you mentioned, we did this other verse to the song, but then people really got upset about it.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
So is that something that you just...
That's not true.
Yeah, I was going to say wrote later and put in, and because it was so funny and it felt so organic and authentic. And I was like, oh, man, is that fucking movie magic? Or
I don't... No, no, no. It was an old verse.
Okay.
It just had no place in the song. I felt like three was enough, and so I had this extra chorus that I didn't know what to do with. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, I can't not do it, but it's also not part of the song.
Right.
So why don't I just do it as sort of a coda?
Right.
And it's that way on the record, too. I like it. I think it's funny, but it just didn't fit into the song anywhere. So
you have a book of old lyric sheets, you know, from, and you can see the transformation of all these songs, and you're like, you know what? That's actually kind of relevant right now. Maybe I'll bring
this. Oh, yeah, I found an old book the other day, and from the Lion writing days, and I was laughing my balls off. I was like, man, I should have put this in this. This is funnier than what I ended up with. But, you know, you have a different perspective now than you did back then.
Well, congrats on the new stuff.
Thanks.
And it's good to see you guys out on the road again. And thanks for sharing some time with us. And please tell Courtney and Charlie I said hey. And
will do.
You know, hopefully I can sneak up to Kalamazoo.
We'll reunite in Sayreville.
Come on out.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you do have to go back for your stuff.
For the museum opening.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Cut the tape.
The Dick Face Museum.
Cut the tape.
Dick Face Museum in Sayreville.
We'll get you a big pair of those scissors. We'll make them lefty, too, so it doesn't work.
Right.
God, what the fuck?
Of course it's not going well.
All right, guys. Cheers.
All right. Thanks.
All right. We want to thank Stephen Lynch for hanging out. That was really cool of him to swing by the TLB Towers.
Nick saw that bullshit we were talking about before.
Oh, it was great. That's good stuff, man. Are you kidding me? And I apologize for having a stuffy nose. I'm actually really sick. This is me with adrenaline fighting through whatever I have. It's
I wasn't saying the bullshit about Stephen Lynch, for the record. I was saying the bullshit about you and I talking about the Mario Brothers for a solid 25 minutes.
That wasn't bullshit.
All right. You say so.
Jenny.
It's Deborah.
Jenny,
I want to get with you.
Did you have a crush on Jenny Lewis?
And her sister.
Who was your first crush? Who was your first crush, man? Who were you into back in the day?
Shit. I mean, like, you know, I think a lot of people my age, it was like Winnie Cooper from The Wonder Years, Danica McKellar.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I think
she's,
that was...
And she's really cool.
She's also, like, super smart. She's like a businessist or something. Yeah.
She writes math books.
Okay, so she's a math whiz. Okay.
Yeah. She's great.
She was probably the first one I actually remember being like, oh, yeah, Winnie Cooper. She's awesome. Like, I want to date
you. You're like, but she's awesome. Wait, why is she awesome? I can't figure this out because no one's explaining anything to me.
No, she was the first one I remember, like, you know, everyone kind of being like, oh, yeah, Winnie Cooper from The Wonder Years. I don't really know. I know yours is Wendy Peppercorn from The Sandlot.
She was adorable. Phoebe Cates for me, man.
Oh, Phoebe Cates from Fast Times. And Gremlins, actually. I remember more from Gremlins.
You know, I loved Gremlins so much. I watched it so much. And I'm like, man, Phoebe Cates is a hottie.
I remember her more. I remember Sigourney Weaver, but I think it's because I literally watched Ghostbusters every day for an entire summer. So I just think Sigourney Weaver, like, pops into my head way younger. Like, I don't think I was like attracted to her. I just remember being like, oh, she's a hot woman.
Well, plus she was awesome.
And she was also like half naked in that movie. For
do you know her real name, by the way?
Sigourney Weaver.
She's almost 70.
No,
she looks fantastic.
No, not Sigourney Weaver.
She's almost 70. Do you know her real name?
No.
Susan Weaver.
Oh, great. Thanks for bringing this podcast to a grinding halt. I don't really remember. It's so funny that I don't really remember. I'm just trying to remember, like, think of movies I watched a lot as a kid that had, like, attractive women in them. Those are the ones that pop into my head. Really think.
Well, we got to get out of here,
Wendy
Matt.
Peppercorn and you. Peppercorn. You and Wendy Peppercorn. You were Squints. She rescued you from the pool.
Dude, that's another great movie. We could swap out.
Sandlot.
No, but we can swap out comedians, current day comedians.
Oh,
for the characters in
Squints,
Sandlot.
Squints, Smalls, and then who was the fat kid? What was his name?
You'd know better than me, man.
He's a Jonah Hill type.
Oh, absolutely.
He's a Jonah. And then, yes, Squints was the glasses.
Do we get Danny Tamborelli as...
Smalls is probably like... That's like the Michael Cera character.
Right.
Yeah. And then you had Benny the Jet Rodriguez. And then you had Squint Smalls and Benny, and then the chubby dude whose name I can't remember. Those are the main characters.
Yeah, I'm looking up.
And then right Wendy now. Peppercorn.
Hamilton.
I just like saying Wendy Peppercorn.
You do, don't you?
I've actually seen T-shirts that have like Wendy Peppercorn likenesses on them.
What year did that movie come out, Sandlot?
I was a little older. I want to say I was like at least a teenager when it came out. I wasn't a kid, so I don't remember.
93. Also.
Okay, so yeah, I was probably like a freshman or sophomore in college. High school.
You know what I love that Marley Shelton did? Speaking of her character in the same, she was in Grindhouse. Oh, really? The double feature. Yeah, she was in the first one. She played one of the nurses.
Oh, dude, I just got a Twitter alert. Mary Tyler Moore has died at 80. Oh, wow. At age 80. Oh, wow, look at that. No.
All right, well, I got to get to the site then.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that funny. I'm going to go write something, man. All right. So go to laughbutton.com for all the latest news, interviews, reviews, nooks and crannies of comedy. Follow us on all the socials at the Laugh Button. Email us any convos you want to have or want us to have at podcast@thelaughbutton.com. You can follow Matt personally at I am Kleinschmidt. I am at Mark Says Hi. That's going to do it for this episode. We want to thank Stephen Lynch again for swinging by. And,
yeah.
And man, what a bummer, man. Mary Tyler Moore.
Yep.
All right. Well, head over to the Laugh Button. We'll have a I'm gonna write a
There's a story.
Yeah. All right. There's a story. All right, bye.